Welcome to the March 17th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17, and the sermon is entitled, Redeem This Day, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are going to move on in a sermon series through the great letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing to move along in this series. This letter was written somewhere around 60 A.D. Paul is confined in Rome because he was jailed as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is known as a prison epistle written from confinement to a church that Paul loved. Prior to coming to Rome and prior to his arrest, Paul had founded this church in Ephesus as a missionary. But he stepped out of the missionary role and he stayed there for 3 years as its pastor. It's the longest place that we know Paul ever stayed on his trips throughout the Roman Empire. He dearly loved this church. He spent time with this church. He knew that the Lord loved them and was using them in a mighty way. Ephesus, I remind you, was a very, very important city, only second in importance to the city of Rome. A huge city, an eclectic city, lots of gods and idols there. And this church is planted in the middle of Ephesus to reach out with the love of Christ there. Now, this church that we are reading about and reading a letter to, at one time was a dynamic and very Christ-centered congregation. I want to remind you, in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus writes seven letters to seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. The first of those letters, in chapter 2, is a letter to the church at Ephesus. This is this Ephesian congregation written long after Paul's letter was written. But I want you to hear these words of Jesus written to this church at Ephesus. In the first few verses of chapter 2 of Revelation, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." That's Jesus walking in the midst of his churches. And Jesus says to this church at Ephesus, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." So what Jesus is writing to the church at Ephesus is that there was a time in your history, church, when I was your first love. I was your first thought when you woke up in the morning. I was the first step of ministry in your day. I was your first love, and you've fallen away from that. I believe that when Paul established this church and served there as its pastor for 3 years, it was the time in their history when Jesus was their very first love. My prayer 2,000 years later for Clifford Baptist Church is that Jesus is our first love. Amen? That's what a church is all about, that we love Him, that we serve Him, that we walk in His footsteps, that He is our first thought in the morning, our last prayer at night. And throughout the day, we're seeking ways that we're to give our lives to Him. Now, today we're going to concentrate on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. The first 21 verses of chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul is describing the Christian journey, and he describes it in a very easy way for us to understand. He describes it as a walk, the walk of the child of God. In our lifestyle, we're to walk in the love of Christ, and we're to walk as the light of Christ to the world. We walk in His love. We walk as the light. So others see Jesus in us. So that when someone who is brand new to this congregation walks through these doors, they see the light of Christ gathering here. That we are His servants. That we love Him as our first love. And that we worship Him and we seek to serve Him in this week that is to come. Now, last week I preached on the upright walk of love, the upright walk of integrity and righteousness in all that we do. And Paul covered in those verses that we studied last week, verses 1 through 7 of Ephesians 5, our walk of integrity when it comes to morality. when it comes to our personal sexuality, when it comes to our speech and how we talk and the words that we use. And Paul also addresses how we live our lives and the actions of our lives that speak Christ to others. Well, today we're going to look at our walk as the children of light. So look with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 8 and go through verse 17. Hear these words from this letter written by Paul to a church that he loved. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. May God add his blessing to the reading of this small portion of his inestimably great word. Well, Paul seizes on a very common analogy here. All this text is based on one practical question. Do you like to walk in the darkness, or do you like to walk in the light? Well, most of us have lived in our homes long enough that we can make it through on a dark evening and miss the furniture because we know the path through our house. I have walked through Clifford Baptist Church so many hundreds of times that I can do it in complete darkness, unless Pastor Clyde leaves his speaker's podium in the chapel in the wrong place. But I can choose my way through this church in the complete dark. But we rarely walk around in the dark. Most of us in our homes have some form of light, maybe a little night light along the way at night, so we can see where we're going. You know, I have a friend that gave me a most unusual Christmas present this past year. If I happen to head to the bathroom at night, I have a night light given to me at Christmas that senses movement and comes on as someone travels toward the bathroom in the dark. But the interesting thing is, the night light is inside the toilet bowl. And not only does it come on when you're traveling that direction, but it changes colors. So can you imagine your toilet bowl emanating light as you travel toward it? Every one of your homes need this. Changed my life. You can see Gwen just loves it. But we love light. I love daylight savings time. I love that extension of light past 8 o'clock at night. I think that's a great thing, even though I hate to lose that hour of sleep. I love the light. In a power outage, how many of us in your home flick on the switches when you go to the rooms and they do not work? We love light. God wants to shed light in dark situations. That is God's heart, that he sheds light on the darkness. And we know that the Bible also says that light always overcomes the darkness. We can make this room as dark as possible in the night, but one candle will light it. Light overcomes darkness. God wants to shed light on darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul tells these Christians in Ephesus, at one time, you in your lost state walked in complete darkness. You walked in lostness and in guilt and in sin, and every step that you took in that darkness was leading to a bad place. It was leading to hell. Whenever you stumble in the darkness, it's going to lead to a bad place, Paul says, if you don't know Jesus. So as you walk in that miserable darkness throughout your life, it only leads to an awful place. But Paul says, listen, church, in the middle of the sad walk, you came to the light. You came to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and your path and your walk was lit by Him. Now, this is very important. I want you to notice what Paul tells the church at Ephesus, because it certainly applies to us. In verse 8, he says, and now are ye light in the Lord. Paul says, I've seen how God has taken the darkness of your lives. Jesus has come to live in your light, and now you are the light in the Lord. He doesn't say that the light of God simply shines on us. He doesn't say that the light of God becomes a little halo over top of our head. But rather, Paul says, the light lives in us. And the light emanates from us. It's not something that you have to push out. It comes out when you truly know Jesus as your Savior. We walk as the light of Jesus in this world. We're gathering here to worship together. And believe me, because the believers of Jesus Christ are gathered here, this is a bright place. As Pastor Clyde said, today there's a great Spirit of God here. This is a bright place. But we're going to walk into a dark world, a world that needs light, and you and I are that light of Jesus shining from us because He lives in us. And the world needs us. We are His arm of outreach into this dark world. And we're the light of Christ walking there. We shine upon this world. I want you to write this reference down. It comes from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus Himself said this in the sermon, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You notice Jesus does not say, you do good works so people will pat you on the back. They say, Jesus says, when I live in your heart, your good works point to the Father, point to His light, and it brings glory to Him in the way that you live for Him in this dark world. Wherever we go, we shine as representatives of light. Now, in verse 9, in the King James Version, New International Version, a couple other versions, this verse is in parentheses. It's kind of a side note. It's a sentence that defines what it means to walk as children of light. Look at verse 9 of Ephesians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So Paul here is listing three qualities of our life when we shine for Christ out in this dark world. First, he says, goodness shines from us. Goodness to other people, not just to the people we choose, not just to the people who are nice to us, but goodness of Jesus shines to other people through us. The second thing he says about believers is that we are righteous, that we are pure, that morally we're on the right track, that we want to follow the Lord in the way that we live our lives for Him. And then thirdly, the child of light, Paul says, we're people of absolute truthfulness. We are people of trustworthiness. We are people of integrity who can be trusted in all things. Our word is our bond. Amen? You know, the world has gotten to the point now we have to sign a contract for everything. But for us, as the people of God, our word is our bond. And when we walk into the world, the people out there should see us as people on whom they can depend and trust, because our word stands. We're people of integrity and truth. Those attributes are the evidence of Jesus living in us, and they're attributes of Jesus shining from us as children of light, Paul says. Verse 10 says, when others see our lives, we're living proof of what is acceptable to God. Look at verse 10. Proving That's your life, my life, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Others look at you and me. And whether you know this or not, if you are known as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are people in your workplace and in your classroom and out in the public who are watching you. And Paul says, as they watch you, this is not a thing of pride. This is not a thing of, let's pat me on the back for how good I am. It simply says, as you live your life to the glory of God, as Jesus shines through you, prove what is acceptable to Him by your life. Live in a way that brings Him the glory, proving who He is by looking at your life. So what I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, is that our testimony is absolutely important in this world. Our witness is absolutely needed in this world. And there is no room for compromise. There is no room for living one way one day and one way the next. It's living for Jesus every day. We prove our Savior through our life. That's what Paul says. Now, he also issues a warning to Christians. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians 5. He says to the church, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." If we are going to remain pure as the people of light in this world, we are very careful not to fool around with things that are linked to the unsaved world. Don't play with that fire. Have no fellowship, Paul says, with dark things. Don't toy with shady morals. Don't play around with compromising lifestyles. Don't think that little white lies are going to go unnoticed. Paul says, in all things, show the Lord Jesus. I think you know this truth. It takes a lifetime to build up the name of Jesus in our lives. It takes a lifetime to build a testimony. And if you're a teenager today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you keep building your testimony. You keep standing strong. You keep following the footsteps of Christ. And that's true for our young families and our middle-agers and those of us who are past that point. Keep building your testimony, because it takes a lifetime to build it and it takes very few seconds to destroy it. Paul says, don't play with the fire of destroying your testimony. Don't play with the fire of some compromising lifestyle that, if you're caught in that, it's going to destroy who you are as people see Christ in you. Don't taint the image of Jesus by something that takes you away from Him. Always prove Jesus lives in your heart and life. Guard your testimony. Guard your witness. Keep it strong and pure. If we're going to remain pure as that light of Jesus, continue to build your testimony and stay away from shameful stuff. Paul says in verse 12, look at that verse. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." He says there are things going on in this world. Right there in Ephesus, there are things going on in Ephesus. There are things today going on in the United States of America that are so shameful we cannot even speak about them. How true that is. Jeremiah says well about the lost life. Here's what he says. Jeremiah, the prophet, major prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Paul says, don't get involved in that world, believer. You are to shine above that world. People of the light are to walk in that world. We walk in that world every day. We walk among the lost every day. That is of the design of God, because the lost need Jesus. Where do they see Jesus? In us. There are many, many, many lost people outside of those doors today who are not sitting on these pews, but they're going to be affected by your life this week when you cross their path. So Paul says, keep your witness pure. Shine with that godly and joyful difference, because if Jesus lives in you and me, there is a difference in us. Do I hear an amen? The Bible says we're a different people. We're a peculiar people. We are different from the world. If any person can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm no different," I believe in Jesus, but I don't care to worship. I believe in Jesus, but I don't care to serve Him. I believe in Jesus, but I don't care to make an impression for Him. There's something wrong with that person's life. There's a breakdown, there's a miscommunication, because you can't love and live for Jesus and not be changed and not be different. That's the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at verses 13 and 14. Here are directions for the Christian believer. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. I'm sorry, let me back up to 13. But in all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So Paul says when we walk as children of light in this old unsaved world, God will use our lives to make others thirsty for His truth, for His light, for His love. Verse 14 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, which says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Ephesians 5:14 is an invitation to those who walk in darkness. You'll notice that Paul uses the word arise from the dead. That's a term of resurrection. You are dead in sin, but be resurrected to life, be risen to new life through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will give you light. Jesus will give anyone forgiveness and grace and light who will come to Him and say, Lord, I need You. I am a sinner. I want to repent. I am sorry. I want to receive You as my Savior. He will give you that light. It will live inside. It will begin to emanate to the outside as He lives in us. And with verse 15, Paul directs his attention back to the Christians at Ephesus. Look at 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? It means that every step you take and every word you say, you're asking the Lord to pre-plan that step, to pre-plan that word, that everything we do and say belongs to Him. We are wisely careful about the steps that we take and about the words that we say, every action of our life, everything we do should communicate the light of Jesus to the world. That's our goal. I know we're not going to be perfect in that because we're still sinners, but we need to make that our goal, that we want to live to be His light to this world. And remember this, eternity for so many people out there in the world hinges on our witness to them. In your workplace, in your classroom, there are those whose lives hinge on your witness to them. As the old saying goes, your life might be the only Bible someone ever reads. Your and my witness in this world is so very important. And then Paul tells these Christians in verse 16 to redeem the time because of these evil days. What does it mean to redeem the time? An old memory comes back to me that helps me explain what it means to redeem the time. For those of us who might be a little older, how many of us here remember green stamps? Okay, I think the younger generation must be up there. Oh, there's some old ones up there. Green stamps, I remember them well. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, when my mother went to the grocery store in particular, they were just a little perk. However much you spent on your groceries, they would give you green stamps. They were just little sticky back stamps. You had to lick them. But they were just stamps. They were indeed green, and you had a little booklet that you would fill up with those stamps. And every time Mom would get groceries, depending on how much she spent, she would get this number of green stamps, and she would give those green stamps to my sister and me. And we would lick them and stick them in those little booklets. Every booklet had to be filled, of course, with so many stamps, so many points, and we'd save those booklets until we had several of them. And in Stanton, there was a redemption center for green stamp booklets. You remember it? I remember it. And we would take our few booklets to that green stamp redemption center, and we would look around, and if you had something like 50,000 green stamps, you could get a toaster or an iron or a radio or something in that redemption center. And I remember my sister and me walking through that redemption center thinking, look how many things we might be able to get with the number of booklets of green stamps that we have. And so it was called a redemption center. You redeemed your stamps for a prize, whatever that might be. Paul says, the time that we have been given on earth is like green stamps. As a kid, we only had so many green stamps to redeem, so many of those booklets that we carried into the store. And as a child of God, you and I have only so many days given to us by the grace of God to live on this earth. Psalm 90, verse 12 says we are to number our days. Now, we don't know exactly how many days we have to our account, but we do indeed know they're numbered. The Lord God knows the end of our days. They are numbered. So that means we have this precious opportunity as the light of Christ to live Him every day out in this world. Come together and worship, to come together and celebrate His presence in our lives, to celebrate the passion of His love in the church, and then to take that into this world. We have so many days to do that. So many days that we have to redeem to His glory. And as we redeem every day, we can lay our head on the pillow at night. My prayer is that every one of us has made some difference, some way, somehow, in some life that day, that we've redeemed that day well by being the light of Jesus out there in the world. When Mom and my sister Patty and I would cash in those green stamps, the store did not give us the booklets back. They threw them in a bin collecting the old used green stamps, never to be used again. You couldn't re-redeem them. You had one shot alone to redeem those green stamps. When we cash in every 24-hour period of life, that period of time will never be repeated again. We redeem every day on its own, and there will never be a redo. There will never be a repeat of a day. We redeem every day on its own, never to be repeated again. Paul says, redeem every day with wisdom. Redeem every day with faith. Redeem every day with trust in Jesus, that He will use you. His light lives in you. Allow it to come out to touch someone else. Redeem your days wisely, because none of them will ever be repeated. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17 really boil down to this. As people saved in Jesus Christ, we are His light in a very dark world. We walk in this world, and every day we're to live so others can see Jesus in us. So others are drawn to Him. So others become thirsty for Him because of what we have. So much rides on your and my witness this week to come out there in the world. Redeem every day as His ambassador. Redeem every day as His witness. Redeem every day to help someone in need. Christian family here, can we simply approach the altar of your heart, maybe this physical altar in front of me, and simply say, Lord, I surrender to You as Your child, and I pray for You to use me in this world. Just as I go about and live my day-to-day life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer, God, is that You will allow the light to shine for me to touch someone in my life. And perhaps right now in your mind, that someone is in your mind. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's someone in your family whom you love dearly. Maybe it's someone in the workplace, someone in your classroom, someone who's been a dear friend for years and years. Maybe you need to bring that one to that altar and say, Lord, help me be the light to him or her. I surrender to you today to use me and my witness as your light. If all of us will covenant together to make that promise to the Lord Jesus that we will be his light, miraculous things will happen in Clifford Baptist Church. He will use us in amazing ways. May he give us that passion. May he give us that compassion to reach this world. And today, if you are here or you're listening to this sermon somewhere down the road by podcast or the website or however you get it, I want you to know if you've never come to Jesus as your Savior, you can come this moment and you can say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And yes, Lord, I have walked in a dark world and my life has been made dark by sin. But I believe that you are the Savior who went to the cross for me. I believe that you shed your blood for me. I believe you died on my behalf for my sin. And on the third day, you rose from the grave on that first Easter morning so that I might have life everlasting. Not only am I forgiven, but I'm given heaven and life and purpose and eternity because of what you did for me. I want to walk out of this darkness, and today, Lord, I want to walk into the light of Jesus. I open my heart to you, and I ask you to fill me with your light, with your love, with your grace, and with your forgiveness. If you will do that today, this moment, you will leave this service, or you'll turn off that podcast as a brand new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his promise. Whatever your need today, he meets us here. Brothers and sisters, can we covenant together today to be the light this week out there? And if you need him, the light is waiting to live in your heart as your Savior in Jesus Christ. Church, home, whatever you need, he meets us right here. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, thank you for these words of Paul to a church he loved. I preach them to a church I love. Father, I thank you for this church, and I believe that the Spirit of God is bright in this place. But my prayer today through this scripture is that the brightness of Jesus shining in this sanctuary in these moments will now leave this sanctuary and go out into the world where it is needed so desperately by so many. This sanctuary is nothing more than a room that houses the church as we gather here. But now the church is poised to leave the room and go into the mission field. Bless us to be your light out there. May we take that seriously, and may you be our first love. For that one who needs you, Lord, you are poised and ready and waiting for them to walk out of the darkness and into the light of a Savior. Bless them now. Call them to come. Let them know that you've never turned anyone away who came to you in faith. Bless them. Church, home, whatever the need, bless us now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.